I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, hey, hey. It's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Do it again, you idiot, and do it right this time.
Do it right. Do it.
Do it right the first time, you moron.
Okay, then. Carry on.
Hello and welcome to episode 104. Holy crap, folks. This is the 104th day of summer. This should be the end of this podcast, but it's not because we have more episodes coming of Phineas and Ferb. This is Pauka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am, of course, TFJ and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Core Michael. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop, but it's going. As I said, 104th day of summer's day that the GCRN finally finds out all about the Night of the Living Pharmacists. Lots of us, less of everything else. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go. I have, before we get into Night of the Living Pharmacists, I was curious because the lovely people over at the Phineas and Ferb Wiki who provide all of this for us, they are amazing, and holy crap. I was curious between, I believe it's, I'm trying to remember for our purposes and our episodes how we're doing this here at Pauka for the end run of the show, so... Last episode was Save Summer, this episode is Night of the Living Pharmacist, and next episode will be Phineas and Ferb Star Wars. So looking at those three episodes on the wiki, Phineas and Ferb Save Summer was five acts in the show of that cartoon. Night of the Living Pharmacist is six acts in this one, and then Star Wars is seven acts in that cartoon.
Wow.
So as I said in, I believe I said in Act Your Age, they've gone past the 11 minute double 20, you know, to be 22 minute, blah, 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 two single episodes. They've gone past that and they've gone into full on cartoon special movie mode moments of like five, six, seven. Where's eight? Like put on your tap shoes, Ferb. Let's start dancing here. Let's start nerdy dancing or something because, yikes. Oh boy, the math on that. Jeebers. But I just wanted to point that out because I'm like, it just keeps building and building and building. But Night of the Living Pharmacists.
In here!
But Buford, that's...
Come on, you freaks! Fresh meat!
Doofenshmirtz's latest innator accidentally turns the citizens of Danville into contagious, mindless, repulsive pharmacists that look like him over town.
So repulsive.
Yes, yeah, so repulsive. Perry and the gang must work together to save Danville and avoid becoming mindless, repulsive pharmacists themselves. Dun, dun, dun. Oh my god. Could this be more of a Doofenshmirtz episode than it actually is? No, it couldn't.
I don't think you could cram any more Doofenshmirtz into this episode.
No, you really can't. I mean, dang.
It's a really good episode, though. I mean, That's just because Doofenshmirtz is such a likable character, but I like horror movies. I'm a horror movie buff. And,
yeah, you are.
And I really like zombie movies. Because who doesn't like zombie movies?
That would be me.
Really? Something wrong with you.
I... yes.
We've established this, yes.
Yes, yes, we have. After 17 years, yes, we have. Here's the thing. It's not about the zombie movie genre specifically. It's not about a specific zombie. Like, I didn't see Evil Dead and be like, ugh. It's about the trend of the crowd, of everybody. And
what do you mean?
And
you mean like horror zombies or like?
No, I mean like, oh my God, everybody in the world has to go watch these zombie movies. And like it's okay. So we're both Transformers fans. We've been Transformers fans since we were, you know, basically born, even though we were born before Transformers was a thing. Exactly. But you were 11 actually. But sure. You were 11, I was 4. God, I can do that math in my head so fast. It's so easy. See, this is the thing, folks. With Transformers, it's so easy because I know it so much. And the same thing with somebody who is a zombie movie aficionado. And I'm just thinking, but it's just actors who have their arms out going, brains. I don't get it. It is what it is. I don't, like...
Yes, it depends on like what subgenre of zombie movie you're going for, because you can have Night of the Living Dead, which is essentially what looks like people with baggy bags under their eyes or like they hadn't slept, right?
Yeah.
We just crawled out of the grave. We just look really tired. And then, you know, you have Brains, you know, I'm limping because I've got rigor mortis, and then you get into like 28 days later where they're running at you.
Yeah.
You know, they can outrun you and they will chew on your face, you know.
Yeah.
But I am a big fan of the shambling corpse zombie, which is you know, you've got like chunks missing and
no.
You know, yeah. I love those. You got to shoot him in the head. Aim for the head.
Yeah, aim for the head, folks. That's right. No, I don't do the closest thing that I have been able to. And that's the thing. Like you're talking about the shambling corpse thing with the body parts falling. Like that's
Walking
too much.
Dead.
Yeah, that for me, that's gory. I don't like gore. And
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yes. I don't do gore. But the closest thing that I've ever been able to get through and not have an issue with is What If. I believe it was season 2 of What If they did Marvel Zombies.
Marvel Zombies.
Yeah. And that was fine. That was
surprisingly graphic for a Marvel cartoon.
Yes, but that cartoon is made for us. That cartoon is made for adults. That cartoon is not made for children.
Okay, sure. I'll buy that. To a certain extent. I mean, there's some adult themes in some of those cartoons.
But, Marvel What If, specifically, the Marvel What If series that ran or is running. I think it already ran its third season. I think the third season is the final season. Yeah, it was. So the third season of Marvel What If is the final season. Okay. Look here, man. You don't have Jeffrey Wright as the voice of the Watcher doing all this stuff, and you don't have all these. That's not for kids. All Jeffrey that
Wright also in The Walking Dead.
Yes, exactly. But you know that to like maybe for teenagers.
Yeah, or maybe
like okay. Compare that to Batman the Animated Series when I was 12 years old in 1992.
That was some pretty adult stuff back then. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying when I say What If is not for kids. Kids, like I said, maybe 15, 16, 17, sure, I could see. But anybody under 15 years of age, What If is not for them.
Yeah, yeah. I'll buy that. I mean, I just saw the episode with Agatha. Agatha Goes to Hollywood, and
I haven't watched season three yet. I need to get.
That was pretty wholesome, actually. I mean, you know, I enjoyed it.
Agatha, can we put a hole through Agatha's head, please?
Did you see the series?
No,
she has a hole in her head at the end.
Oh my
god! You predicted it. Holy cow!
Oh no, I didn't predict nothing.
Wow, spoilers. Much?
No, that's not a thing.
All right, that's then. Not a thing.
All right. Night of the Living Pharmacist.
Yes.
What do you got?
Well, I mean, I mentioned it briefly, but it's like all the horror movie references. We have some Alfred Hitchcock in there, which was awesome. We've got cameos from Shaun of the Dead. We got Simon Pegg and Nick Frost both in there. Yeah. Which I was not expecting that, but it was amazing. I mean, I was like, you know, we're gonna go down to the pub, we're gonna have a pint, then we're gonna write off the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah.
Buford. I don't want to say parrots, but you know, he repeats one of the best horror movie lines of all time by the late great Bill Paxton.
Yes, yes,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Game over, man.
Game over.
That was awesome. There was a whole tribute to the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yep.
And I am a huge fan. We used to go at midnight to see the show in the late night double feature picture show by RKO. And yeah, I mean, and when they did it, it was like, it's like Candace, Phineas, Candace, Isabella, Ferb. You know, and there's no. You know, Ferb doesn't say anything, but there's a, you know,
yeah.
that was the Rocky line, and yeah. Rocky didn't speak, you know, yeah. And it was so much fun. I laughed so hard. It was just, it was pretty amazing. There was so many good lines in this. I mean, I'm terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought.
That's right.
I laughed. I mean, I immediately recognized it, but when Ferb said it, I was like, oh my God. I actually let him say that.
I hope you're proud, Harold. I hope you're proud.
You know he is.
Any ideas?
I got nothing.
Ferb?
I'm petrified beyond all capacity for rational thought.
But yeah, mm-hmm. It was, you know, there were a lot of good moments. There was a lot of Vanessa. Which, yep. You know, is always welcome. We actually had Fireside Girl singing.
Yes, which I could do without.
It was weird because they don't, but they don't, how should I put it? It was like, why are they singing about this particular topic when there's Night of the Living Dead going on outside? I mean, there's probably better songs that they could have, have alluded to something more horror related, which would have been hilarious.
So the songs, really quickly, since we're talking about, since you mentioned that,
yeah,
the songs that are in the songs that are in the episode, Disco Miniature Golfing Queen is an instrumental. It's the, you know, from when Stacy did that episode, that's whatever. The Quirky Worky song, which is in every episode. We got Jump Right to It.
That's the one.
We got Jump Right to It. We got Army of Me, Triangulation, and Lots of Me. So Jump Right.
So dumb.
Oh, Triangulation. So behind the scenes, folks, we've been trying to record this episode for 3.5 weeks. I don't know when you're going to hear this, but as of this recording, March 11th, 2025, we've been trying to record this for 3.5 weeks. I've heard that goddamn Triangulation song 3 times because I've watched this episode 3 fucking times. I hate that song. I love Isabella, but I hate that fucking song.
Yeah. No, it's just kind of a weird. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot of singing in this. I mean, aside from, you know, Lots of Me, which was a that was a good song. I liked that one. And when I think about this episode, that's really the only one that I really remember. That's the one that stands out, and they actually repeat it in the end credits.
In the end credits, yeah.
The
funny thing about, though, in this whole episode, the greatest takeaway I have is all of the doof-infected people. Lots of me. They get around.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Found him and he asks them to do something. They start going, less of me, less of me, less of me. He's like, oh, great. I forget what he actually says, but he's like, I finally have enough of me around and I can't get them to do anything for me or whatever it is that he says. But it was just the irony of he created this army and they won't do anything actually for him. And it's like, oh, God. And the introduction, I was like, again, because I had never seen that. I had stopped watching by this time. Like I had seen the Star Wars thing because it's Star Wars. Yeah. I don't remember watching this on TV. I don't remember watching it on whatever service or whatever it was on before it hit Disney Plus. The intro to this is not the normal intro.
No.
That is amazing.
No. Yeah, the intro is very like 1960s horror movie.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't sure which horror movie. I mean, I want to say it was like some Hitchcock film.
Yeah,
but I can't say for certain. I'm sure it says somewhere in the wiki and I just missed it, but I was like, yeah, they were definitely going for that, you know, kind of 1960s horror movie vibe.
Yeah,
I've seen enough of those, you know, growing up with in near Chicago, right? We have a Son of Svengoolie. And Svengoolie would always have Rich Coe's, right? If you're familiar.
Yeah,
he'd always have, you know, the black and white horror movies.
Interesting. Very cool. Very cool. I'm trying to find if we have any behind the scenes things of the intro, and I don't see it. The only thing I do see is, which is interesting. Dan Povenmire made it clear that the entire episode was canon. Instead of a film Stacy was watching, and that the end card on Stacy's TV was merely the end of title card of the Grievance movie she was watching. Because right. The way this ends, it makes it seem like she was watching this episode, and she was Yeah, I didn't get that either.
Yeah, that is not how I got it. I mean, she had this whole side arc where she was completely oblivious to the, you know, the pharmacist invasion, and, you know, had a few close calls, didn't realize it, but she managed to completely set up her own audiovisual setup and watch the Grievance series.
Yeah,
by her lonesome. And you know, this is like The Grudge, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's essentially what it is. Yep.
Yeah, so she's watching like all four episodes of The Grudge by herself. You know, on the TV that she set up, you know, only messed it up once. But yeah, that's no easy feat. And she had to go outside and turn on the generator. So
that's right.
You know, historically, that's when you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't go outside by yourself in the middle of a zombie apocalypse because, that's how you get your brain eaten. But your brain eaten? That's how you get your brain eaten. Yeah, that's
I'm going through the list of the. I'm reading. They go through the list of the order of the citizens that got transformed, and they go through several of the animal agents, and one of the agents is Agent G, and so we got Agent G O M C, and then Agent K B R. I'm like, Oh, it's a good thing they didn't list Agent KGB together.
KGB. Agent Putin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, well, how should I put it? I want to say, like, that might have been my least favorite part. Was, oh, now we've got zombie agents, you know, and they were less zombie-ish.
Yeah.
Or I should say less doofenshmirtzish.
Right? Yeah, they were not very doofenshmirtzish.
No, they were all clearly, you know, animals, but
yeah,
I thought it was weird that, like, all the humans turned into doofenshmirtz. You know, and
yeah,
and copies with the animals.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, no, I'm still clearly a duck. You
know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they do say, well, it must have a different effect on the animals. I mean, at least they say that. Like, at least there's no, at least there isn't an explanation for it. I mean, there isn't a good one, but they do specifically say, oh, it must have a different effect on the animals. Just kind of turns them evil versus turning them.
Turns to me. That was the other thing. Is like, what exactly happened to them? Because they're not, doing the doofenshmirtz thing, but they're acting more like they were before they turned. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either.
But what was cool though is that a lot of people got turned, right?
Yep.
And it was almost like all the recurring characters through the season all showed up, right? So you've even got the giant baby head floating in there somewhere. You've got the weatherman in there. You've got, oh, I can't remember all the names, but there were like the news guy.
Yep.
You know, it's like, well, we've seen him a few times. Oh, now he's a zombie. Yeah. You know, so it's like they kind of had like a last hurrah for associated characters that... Yep. You know, didn't show up during the last episode, or the final episode of the series, you know, they where they wanted to focus on our main characters. Now is the time to kind of drag out a lot of these supporting characters that we don't get to see very often. And there were a lot of, like, townspeople that I wondered, like, is that, like, the cartoon version of you know, like one of the producers or something?
I mean, they've put cartoon versions of... producers and things like that in there.
It's like did the storyboard artist make a cameo? Yeah. We just didn't know, you know.
Like you've got Martin the news vendor that got turned.
Yeah,
that's listed like, here.
Did a leaky graph show up? You know, we just didn't.
Yeah,
know.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I was trying to see if he was.
Somebody would know, but I mean, there's a lot of these people, townspeople, random townspeople. You know, where it's like they look more specific, let's say, than your average, you know, background townsperson. It's like they were trying for a caricature of somebody who is a real person.
Yeah.
They don't just have a triangle head, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think going through this list, because again, the list on the Wikipedia page for the Phineas and Ferb Wiki, it says the order of known citizens transformed, and they go in the order that they were transformed. Kind of wish we had, like, you got Lawrence and Linda who got transformed kind of together. Yeah. I kind of wish we had Jeremy and Candace get transformed together, but Jeremy was transformed between Gordon Guts of an Emu and Beppo Brown, and then Candace was transformed between Buford and Perry. So... Yeah, but it is what it is.
And then obviously, as they start closing in, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Our
foreground characters, let's say, start getting transformed.
Yeah, Candace, Perry, Vanessa, Ferb, Phineas, and Isabella was the last one to get transformed.
We may be the only non-pharmacists left in Danville. I think I figured out where this started. And if we could get there, we might be able to figure out how it started and reverse it.
Wait, how did you find out where it started?
And like, I get what Doof was going for. He wanted to make his brother ugly, and it backfired because, I don't know.
It seems like he's tried to do this before. I mean, he's tried to make his brother, like, less attractive.
Or
less articulate, or, you know, something that would cause him to not be mayor.
Yes, he's done this before. This is just a different way of doing it, and somehow this backfired in a way to get lots of him.
Clearly that was an accident. I don't think he meant.
Yeah, he didn't mean to do that, but like... I don't dislike the episode. I thought it was fun. But it was just like, what did you think was going to happen? Because if we are thinking that this universe act, and I know this is way out there, folks, trust me, I get it. As I've often said, as I've often stolen the line from Kevin Smith and from Ben Affleck in 2001's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, fictional characters, we get it. I know it's fake. It's make-believe. It's pretend. It's whatever. Sure. But if we look at this universe and we look at everything Doofenshmirtz has done, every time he's tried to make Roger ugly or try to make Roger look bad, it always backfires on him. Or in this case, specifically, the ugliness is him. Like, you're trying to turn your brother, the mayor, into yourself so you can take over. Like, the logic behind that doesn't make any sense. Like, I get you want to turn him into a zombie or turn him into somebody who's dumber than he actually is or turn him into somebody who, like, somehow to... the way that Doof tries to link the logic of how he could become mayor.
Yeah.
Not just this episode, but every episode does not fucking work at all. Every time. Never
works. The logic falls through a little bit. I should say... Should we put it? I mean, honestly, I think we've had this conversation before where it's like, you know, the logic is sound. It could work, you know, but eventually, you know, something happens. You know, the intersection of the A story and the B story causes some unforeseen event and it doesn't pan out, you know, whereas here, it does pan out. It just has unexpected, you know, results, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah, the results
exactly
were...
How, I think they were... Yeah, they got in, like, a fight. And... Mm-hmm. Or there was fighting, and it accidentally went off and shot his brother. And he was like, oh, look, it worked.
Yeah, but again...
One of those occasions where Agent P didn't thwart the plans. There was no unexpected self-destruct button.
Yeah, there was no unexpected self-destruct button. That's the thing. It worked, absolutely, but it worked in a way that Doof was like, oh, crap.
Oh, this is bad. I may have accidentally destroyed the world. Yes, oh, that was the other funny thing is at the end, it was like, well, great, we've restored all the townspeople within the town square, except then, outside of this giant wall.
Walled, yeah. I was like, wait a minute.
We don't go out there.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute.
It was very Last of Us. It was very, what was Attack on Titan? You know, it's like, uh-oh, they've breached Wall Maria.
Oh my God, yeah.
Everybody fall back to the center wall. You know? But that was funny. I liked that.
And that was very,
I know, this episode was very clever. And unlike some of the previous... you know, movie length episodes that we've seen in the last couple of episodes, this one not only, you know, kept my attention, but kept me entertained.
Yeah.
And I was just consistently happy with, you know, I mean, all of the allusions and the references and the lines were just really funny.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I mean, you know, yes, folks, as podcasters, we do watch things multiple times and stuff because we usually have to do that. But it's one of those things where every time I've watched this, I've enjoyed it every time. I haven't enjoyed it. Like, I haven't gotten more enjoyment out of it every time, but you know what I mean? I've enjoyed it every time. I haven't, you know, how when you rewatch something multiple times and by like the third or fourth time, you're like, okay, now I can step away from it and I can wait 5-10 years before I watch it again, kind of thing. And that's probably where I am now with this episode. But when I was watching it to make sure I had enough to talk about for the podcast, it was like, oh, here we go. this is cool. This is fun. And again, I will start using lots of me, less of something else. I'll start using that in everyday life now because damn, that's awesome. I love, love lots and less.
lots of me. I'm not, well, how should I put it? I don't know where that came from.
I don't know where it came from, but I freaking love it.
Yeah. He's just like, you know, that's just what we're going to say. It's not like brains. You
know? Yeah.
That's what I would expect.
And I think that's why I like it so much, because it's something different for a zombie-like character to do that isn't fucking brains. And it's so funny because when we were trying to get this episode recorded, folks, a couple of the messages I sent Michael were lots of Pauka, less of Destiny 2, less of Destiny 2.
The new season just started. Come on.
I don't care. You got all the time in the world to do that any other day.
I suppose. Yeah.
But no, this is such a fun episode. There isn't anything.
It was fun.
Even though I'm not the biggest horror person in the world, I have gotten to the point now where I respect and I enjoy certain parts of it. And Doof is hilarious. And Doof copies of himself doing zombie things is just hilarious. And seeing how they Vanessa, oh my God, his freaking daughter. Like her and her friends. Forget it. Forget about Candace and Jeremy and the Fireside Girls and all of that. All of the quote-unquote goody-goody characters in this episode. Look at Vanessa and her and Johnny and their friends. Oh, my God, how they react. They're like, I got to go to the basement. We should split up. Let's do this. Let's do that. Like, they do everything.
I'm going to go hide in this room full of knives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, knives out, people.
Wait, hold on a second. I think it'd be best if we ducked behind this wall of chainsaws. You know, I think that would be the best idea. Candace was the one that stepped up and said, "Whoa, hold on a second. You're all gonna get murdered. You realize this?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I say, you know, goth chicks are a national treasure, and we should rally around them and make sure they're safe and protected.
Absolutely.
This is where we fell down in this episode.
That's the knife we fell on.
Well, they fell on. But yeah, there was at some point there was a mention of, you know, it's like, I'm not a pharmacist. Why do people keep thinking I'm a pharmacist?
Yeah.
I know nothing about pharmaceuticals.
It's the lab coat. It's got to be the lab coat.
Got to be the lab coat. At some point, he says, you know, it'd be funny if I actually became a pharmacist. That would just show them.
Yeah, that'll show them.
That'll show them. Then who'll have the last laugh as I prescribe myself medications?
That's right. Anything else about Night of the Living Pharmacist you'd like to discuss, sir?
I just had it. It was just on the tip of my tongue, and now, oh, that's what, there was a whole subplot about Isabella trying to tell Phineas about her feelings.
Yep.
And this has been done to death already in this season, culminating in Act Your Age, right?
Yep.
Where at the end, they finally, he's like, what, you didn't tell me all those years, and I had no idea. And she finally tells him. And he's like, oh my God, I had no idea. Wow, this is amazing. And then, in fact, I want to say that it was actually somewhere in the animations where they were supposed to kiss, and they said, no, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Because we've already done it. And not only have we already done it, but we made them forget once.
Yep.
Yeah. And of course they forget, because after they're turned into zombie, into pharmacists, right? And then turned back, they lose all their memories. They don't.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's just a shame.
Yeah, that's a shame, because again, this is why. So if you look in the list of how the episodes ran, or how they, whether the production order or the air date order, how, if you look in the continuity of how the series is supposed to go, I still think Act Your Age and The Last Day of Summer should be the final two episodes of the series. Because
yes,
Act Your Age is the adult future of our characters. And Last Day of Summer is, from what I remember, without actually, I'm not looking at the wiki anymore, and I haven't watched the episode yet, obviously. Yeah. But from what I remember, it's basically them saying goodbye. They're all going back to school. Right. They're all going back to whatever.
Right.
Like those yeah. should have, that should be the order. It should, the order should not be.
Yeah. I don't understand how this Halloween episode ended up at the end of the lineup.
You know, yeah, so we got
especially since there was already two other separate Halloween episodes on Halloween.
Yeah.
Or yeah, they were aired somewhere around Halloween. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we get the Inator Method, we get Act Your Age, we get Save Summer, we get Night of the Living Pharmacist, which is where we are now. We get Star Wars, we get Last Day of Summer. So basically, what you needed to do was take Act Your Age and Star Wars and just flip-flop them. So put Star Wars in between the Inator Method and Save Summer or something. So that way, Act Your Age would be next to penultimate to Last Day of Summer. I don't know. You know what? It's their show. They can do whatever the hell they want. I'm just saying, like you brought up, what's the point of having her tell him her feelings in this specific episode? What was the point of that now?
Yeah.
When we already saw the whole thing play out in a previous episode.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
How about giving him a fireside guy patch or something where he has to do something
I think he actually gets the fireside guy patch.
I don't know.
Well, I want to say he has like, he's there. Once their rubberization wears off and they have to wear impromptu, you know, kind of hazmat suits. He gets a hole ripped in one and she gives him the patch to,
Oh, that's true. That's true. But I'm saying,
technically, he does get the patch.
Technically, he does. Okay. All right. I don't know, man. Like, that still doesn't take away my enjoyment from this episode, but it muddles it. It muddles the continuity of Phineas and Isabella, since we already saw all of the feeling things already happen in Act Your Age. So,
right.
Like, Act Your Age, go from that. Do whatever you're going to do. Last Day of Summer, if you do anything with their feelings there, fine.
Yeah.
And then just end it. Because after Last Day of Summer, we go to Candace Against the Universe. Which, oh God.
You know, honestly, I don't think I've actually ever seen that.
I thought you did watch it at one point. Anyway, we're watching it, so.
I'm gonna watch it. I just don't think I have before. I mean,
all right.
I don't remember. Maybe I did. All Once right. I see and, it, I'll be like, oh yeah, hey, I think I've seen this before, but I don't remember watching it.
Yeah. All right. Anything else about the pharmacists and the Night of the Living?
No. I mean, I think that maybe we could have seen more people get turned into zombies. I mean, like Rodney being a zombie would have been perfect. That would have been, yeah, poetic justice, right?
That would have been his worst nightmare. Can you imagine Rodney pontificating right before he gets turned? Like, lots of me. Like, oh my God, that would have been hilarious. Oh, I would have loved to have seen that. That would have been hilarious. Been funny.
Yeah.
So funny.
It would have been funny. Also, Yeah, to revisit that, I think I need the wiki to stretch a little bit and find out who those unnamed characters actually were. It's like, oh yeah, that guy there, he's the producer, or you know that guy there, we know that guy. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What are we rating Night of the Living Pharmacist? 0 to 5 with half points.
It's definitely getting a 5.
Absolutely. 100%.
Fantastic show. Yeah. I love this one. I didn't mind at all that it was an entire hour.
Yep. Out of the specials so far, this one did not, because of how the pacing was in it and how the story progressed, it went by so fast for me. It didn't feel like this, even though I watched it 3 times, it didn't feel like I watched 3 hours of the same cartoon. It just felt like, I don't know.
You saw something different every time. No, I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot going on here. Yep. I mean, it's not just an A story and a B story. There's a lot going on, and that's before Shaun of the Dead shows up.
It's like, it's very true.
Are you insinuating that my clothing is alive?
Yes, yes, I am.
Well, the lab coat had to come from somewhere.
It's kind of like Spider-Man. Your webbing comes out of your body. Yeah, isn't that cool?
Ew.
How did you get your webbing? I made web shooter. Oh my god! No, no
like,
way home.
Like a tool sits on my wrist. I should,
exactly.
You know,
I made it. It's technology.
Web powers, right. Go.
Yeah, go web, go. That's
go
right.
Web, go.
That's right. Go web, go. I love. Oh man, I have that clip. Oh god, I use that all the time. I love go web, go. Toby is amazing. All right, folks, we're going to go to a quick podcast ad break. Here's some podcast ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this. Lots of
strange and unusual. Same old, come on!
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20-year standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes or Geekcast Radio.com.
Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at youtube.com/@LyricallyAudacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Quiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42. Which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Mark Who 42's universe is proud to be a part of GeekCast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Mark Who 42 on GeekCast Radio Network, a match made in a galaxy near you.
Do you like the Transformers?
Yes.
Do you like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Cowabunga!
Do you like IDW Comics?
And comic book podcasts?
Then come check out Ninjas and Bots. Each week we look at an issue of Transformers
or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles from their IDW Comics incarnation. We drop episodes every Saturday morning.
Just like the cartoons we loved as a kid. The show can be found on your favorite podcatcher and at johnreadscomics.com.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
There's always lots of spare parts laying around here.
I like to tinker.
All right.
Go ahead.
Yep, I'm working on it. All right, folks, we... Stop laughing, damn it. We are back.
Stop laughing, damn it.
We are back here inside Palka, the podcast organization without a cool acronym. This is episode 104. We made it through the summer, but we're not done yet. Yeah. But we're not done yet because we have more that is coming.
For like Phineas 8, right? It's not like 108?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. We got Candace Against the Universe, and then we're going to do... We have Phineas and Ferb Star Wars, which is next.
Star Wars, yeah.
We have Last Day of Summer, Alkaphiles, and then Candace Against the Universe. And then we're going to do some top countdowns, and then we're just going to wait for whenever season 5 comes. So it's supposed to be here this year. Hopefully they do it in the way they have been doing things, where it is a Disney Plus series versus actually being on the Disney Channel.
Oh, I don't know. I've got Disney Channel.
I haven't had cable in years.
We cut the cord. I don't remember what cable's like.
Yeah.
What were we talking about? We were talking about Nickelodeon. Oh, the Thundermans.
The Thundermans?
The Thundermans the kids from the Thundermans are back, and I'm like, yeah, she looks pretty good for 30. And my son's like, she's not like 30. And I'm like, well, I remember when the Thundermans were on TV, and they started, she was like 11. And then by the time, you know, 5 or 6 seasons later, she's 20. You know, and it's like, she's not a teenager anymore. She's, that girl's, you know, in her 20s. And that was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So now she's got to be in her 30s.
The time is...
They put her back in the spandex, so... You know.
Hey, as long as they can fit in the spandex, I guess. I mean, right. I don't know.
But again, the conversation led to, wow, how long has it been since we've had Nickelodeon?
Yeah.
I mean, we have the Paramount Channel, and I think Nickelodeon's on Paramount. Or
yeah, it is.
Certain shows from Nickelodeon are now on Paramount. But
because Paramount owns Nickelodeon, so.
Yeah, how long has it been since we've actually watched the Nickelodeon channel? And
it's been forever. Years. Yeah, it's been forever. Yeah.
It's a shame too, because I really liked watching Nick. We had like Nickelodeon, Nick at Night, and Adult Swim, and actually that.
Those Cartoon Network, Network.
But yeah, same thing. I haven't watched Cartoon Network in forever. Now I remember. We were in a hotel room. We went down to Indianapolis, and they had actual cable.
Yeah.
So we were going through the actual cable, and we ended up watching something on Nickelodeon, and the I don't remember what did we watch? Oh, it was Hotel Transylvania 2. We watched, and it had commercials, and I'm like, what? And then one of the commercials was the Thundermans, and I was like, holy cow, do you remember these guys? You were little. You were like really little. We used to watch way too much Disney. When the kids were really young, and then when they got a little bit older, it was way too much Nickelodeon.
Yep. Yeah, when Karen and I would stay at hotels, the first thing when we were going to sleep, first thing I would do is look at the channel guide and find HLN, because at the time, HLN, after 10 p.m. Eastern time, sometimes 9 p.m. Central time, depending, they would run Forensic Files all night. And Peter Thomas's voice, may the man rest in peace. Peter Thomas was 91 when he passed, but he was the voice. Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. Dude, I don't care. He can talk about poisoning. He can talk about shooting. He can talk about whatever kind of murder you can think of. It's his voice. It's the sound of his voice. In the way he talks about the crimes, it's just like I go to sleep to Forensic Files every night. It's just the easiest thing to do. It's the I don't know. It just a thing. Anyway.
All right. That's too bad he's dead. You could have had him read the phone book or something.
Well, that's why I have Forensic Files on YouTube all 14 seasons.
Now he's on Cameo, you know. You can
stop it. Oh my god, stop. Because no,
what was he on Cameo? Did you miss out?
No, but there is or there was somebody else on Cameo that I was going to get to do something, and that would be, I don't know if he's still doing stuff or not, but that would be Mr. Victor Caroli.
Oh, okay, sure.
The year was 2005. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, okay, how many Funko Pops do I have to sell to get voice clips from Victor Caroli before heaven forbid?
Yeah. I don't think that's the same thing. Will they basically say anything you ask them to?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, within reason, you know, but yeah.
Sure.
Right. I mean, the they're getting paid.
Over the years, there's been a lot of times where we have said, you know, it'd be hilarious.
Like, you know, within reason. Like, I mean. We get
David Kay to sing that. I know he's on Cameo.
Yep.
$200 later, you know, we've got Megatron.
Yeah.
Barney song.
Yep, yep, yep. So, all right, Phineas and Ferb, folks. So, coming up next, we got Star Wars. So, Phineas and Ferb, Star Wars is the next thing. Yep.
Is that before we do Last Day of Summer?
Well, Last Day of Summer is the last episode of the series. So, yes, Star Wars is next. And then Last Day of Summer.
Star Wars. I've already watched Last Day of Summer like twice. I was really
I know that's your fault. It's, okay, he I mixed watched up. It instead of he Save mixed Summer. Up Save Summer and Last Day of Summer.
Yeah,
that's your fault. That's
and imagine
not
my disappointment because you know.
Imagine your disappointment because blah blah blah.
I really liked
it. Yeah. So.
Anyway,
yeah. So Star Wars, Last Day of Summer, Alka Files, and then Candace Against the World or Against the Universe. So that's the order.
All right. Well, watch some Star Wars then.
Yeah.
Like me some Star... I'm a huge fan of the Star Wars. We've done Star Wars episodes. How many Star Wars episodes have we done over the years?
I don't know.
Quite a few.
Not sure exactly, but yeah.
If I had a nickel for every time we did a Star Wars episode, I'd have more than two nickels.
Yep.
Which isn't a lot, but it's pretty neat that it's happened more than once.
After all, this is how you remind me. Thank you for joining us here on Falco. There are several ways to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content, including Falco and other podcasts that we do. We also have a brand new fourth wall store, shop.geekastradio.com. You can check out all of our merch over there. Buy some stuff, folks. We got t-shirts up to 4XL. We got mugs. We got mouse pads, I think. We got gamer pads. We got other stuff. It's very, very cool. Very, very awesome. Send us an email to feedback@geekastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcasting clients you choose to use. You can follow us on Twitter @GeekCastRadio for the network. I am @TFG. And Mike, did you X out of Twitter yet, or are you still over there?
I'm still on over there. I'm thinking about pulling a trigger on a Blue Sky. I'm on Threads.
I asked somebody the other day, does anyone actually use Threads anymore? Because, and somebody was like, isn't Threads the newest one? I said, yeah, it is, but like, it's the least one that I actually open out of all the social media apps I have on my phone.
You know, when I'm on Facebook, I'll be scrolling and there'll be a link to Threads.
Yep, because it's all Meta.
Yeah, and it's like, well, why not just show me the thread? As opposed to showing me a link to the... And inevitably, it's more interesting stuff than what I can find in Facebook. So it's like... how should I put it? It kind of reminds me of what Twitter was like 10 years ago.
Yeah. For Meta... So Meta is Facebook, Instagram, Threads. I think WhatsApp is in there too, but I forget. Anyway, so Threads essentially is text-based Instagram that's trying to be Twitter from 2008-2009. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of whatever. I kind of liked it at first because it was the new hotness. It wasn't old and busted like Twitter is. But I've got 16 years, 17 years into Twitter. I don't stay on Twitter. I go on Twitter. I make my posts.
Twitter was good.
Exactly. I remember when we actually had conversations on Twitter. We don't have conversations on Twitter anymore. They're posts, they're opinions, and you run away. That's what you do on Twitter. You don't stay on the platform. And oh God, somebody was like, and again, folks, this is completely off topic since I'm in the middle of the outro, but somebody was like the other day, I saw somebody do a reel on Instagram where they're like, TikTok changed everything. TikTok is like, you don't need to choose your content. We're going to give the content to you. We're going to show you the content that we know you really want. And I'm sitting here thinking, fuck no. I want to choose my content. I want to make my own choices. I want actual intelligence, not artificial intelligence. Like, I understand AI is the new big thing now, and that's fine, whatever else, but I will never install TikTok. I will never watch TikTok videos. I want to, like, perfect example, you walk into a toy store, you've got a Transformer, a Masters of the Universe figure, a DC superhero, a Marvel superhero, you can pick two. Okay.
Oh, generous. Yes.
Okay, but my point is, like, instead of them saying here and here, here's your figures, and you don't get a choice, and they just shove them to you. No, TikTok didn't work. Not for me, it didn't. That was the point of this reel. They were saying TikTok worked by shoving content into people's faces and not giving them a choice of what they watched, but by scrolling through TikTok. And I'm like, nope.
No, I understand that. You know that you have the same argument with like a Yelp, where it's like Yelp says, "Oh, hey, you know, here's some a choice of three restaurants in your area," and it's like, "Well, yeah, those are all sturdy choices, but it's not what I want."
Right, but they're giving you a choice. They're not just saying, here are three restaurants in your area. We think you should go to one of
these. These are the only three you can
have. Yeah. It's like McDonald's, Dairy Queen, and Burger King, except like
Taco Bell.
Yeah.
I'm going to Taco Bell. It's
like, exactly.
Gives a crap. I want to talk about these things. You know, I'm looking for something particular. I'm looking for a high-end, nice restaurant that serves, you know, chef food, let's say, for lack of a better term. And they're like, how about Taco Bell? I'm like, I don't want that. Just because 100% of the other people that are looking for restaurants in my area all go to Taco Bell doesn't mean that's what I want.
Yeah, exactly. I miss the Chocolate Sanctuary so much. It closed down a couple of years ago. Fucking hell. I missed that. That was high fine dining. That was good.
That might have been one of the nicest meals you've ever had.
That's right. Absolutely. 100%.
I'm a bit of a snob, but I mean, honestly, if you can figure out a way to put chocolate in your steak, then I'm there.
That's right.
Chocolate steak, man.
Yep. So, folks, become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka. I wish you'll join us next time when we'll be giving you our thoughts on Phineas and Ferb, Star Wars. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the geek in you.
Lots of meat.